Mount Calvary. I believe what this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. Oh, but faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend.
Oh, I believe that this Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. Mine, that is why by the cross I will stay.
I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cause.
If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I still believe in the old rugged cross. Praise God. And what happened at that cross is still as powerful as it's ever been. A Savior who sacrificed himself a ransom for many, who shed blood that's sufficient to keep us from now till eternity. And he only had to do it once. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. And that one time is good for the rest of your life. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to begin just reading at verse 4, Paul speaking to Brother Timothy, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Amen? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me read that one more time so that you focus on what he hasn't given us. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One more verse of scripture, Proverbs 3 and 5, before you sit down tonight. One more verse. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, infamous verse of scripture, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not some of it, not most of it, all of it. And you'll find out why when you do it. Amen. And lean not to your own understanding. Would you pray right now? Amen. God, we need your help tonight. I know that you've talked to my heart. I know you put something in my spirit for whosoever, God, needs a good word from the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Help us tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Help us tonight. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the power of God. God, just take our minds and just bring them into this place, bring them into this moment, unclutter them, and give us, God, just a free path to someone's soul in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. I want to read to you one more verse of scripture. In John chapter 1, just want to establish something here before I get to commenting. John chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to turn there with you. We've learned scripture so much, but I still like looking at them. Praise God. Amen. It says in verse 11, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John, we know, writing this epistle post the day of Pentecost, many years after. So when he's writing sort of remembering and then a present thought. Writing and a present thought. And we're seeing here that as many as received him, to them gave he power. We read and first. Oh yeah, thanks. Thanks. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And John testifies here, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. A lot of times we have a tendency to focus on all the wrong stuff. I know we've talked about this in times past, but as this thought actually it came into my heart today, and I was thinking about the things that Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 14, I believe it is, and Luke 21 and 22, where it's talking about all this stuff that's coming upon the earth and the false Christ and the false prophets that will arise. And Jesus is talking about all this stuff, and he's saying you're going to hear wars, rumors of wars, and people hating one another, and you're going to be delivered up to the councils. They're going to persecute you, and there'll be all sorts of stuff in which everything he said pretty much happened before it turned 80-100. But you'll notice that when he was saying all these things, he said, but the end isn't yet. And then he said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And if you notice, especially if you listen to certain people preaching about all of that stuff, and especially the ones that think they know everything about it, their emphasis is upon all the stuff that he talked about. Very little emphasis upon, but he that shall endure. And I think there's times when, whether we're hearing somebody talk about it or in just our general reading, we have this tendency to focus on the stuff that in his teaching he didn't intend for us to focus on. He was trying to inform us, but not make us afraid. In other words, these things are going to happen, and some of these things I'm going to be the one happening. But you endure. Don't just endure all the junk that's in the world. Don't just endure all the stuff that's out of your control, but you're going to have to endure me as well. Maybe we haven't thought of it like that. But he that shall endure unto the end. In other words, there's stuff that we're going to have to endure as we continue to live in this life that God is bringing upon this world. It won't be mankind. It won't be another country against another country. It'll be God. Now, we may not know what that is. We might just assume certain things are this, that, or the other. We may not know. And it's not for us to know. And he didn't say all the stuff he said for us to try to figure it all out. And that's where we go wrong sometimes. We go wrong when we try to figure out all the stuff he's saying and we miss his point. Months and months ago, I don't remember when it was, but we talk about the playground. And, this isn't for you to worry about. Go play. Right? Because there are certain things that are on mom and dad's shoulders, not on the kid's shoulders. Then there's other times there's stuff on the kid's shoulders. But if it's not on your shoulders to worry about, don't worry about it. Nation against nation is not on your shoulders to worry about. He was just informing us is going to be this way. But you keep on pressing on. Amen. Don't let anything separate you from the love of God. Again, I'm saying this because when we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we read that one part of that verse where Paul's telling Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, then nothing that he said to us in instruction was with the intention of making us afraid. If we become afraid, and if we listen to some of these fanatics, and I don't mean to disrespect the fanatics, I'm just calling them what they are. I'm sorry. But if we listen to certain things about certain things that they don't understand, that they're all focused on, that they're not supposed to be focused on, we could get focused on it and become afraid. Our hearts can become overwhelmed with the condition of the world. We've all met people that are just overcome. They're almost afraid to walk out of the house because the world is just nuts. Okay, well, if that's you, you've missed something. And I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just trying to crawl you back to the cross so that you can find the power and the love and the sound mind that comes with perfect love that casts out fear. Nothing Jesus has taught us was to make us afraid. It was to make us aware so that we would know how to carry ourselves and live for God in this present world. If he didn't think we could live for God in this present world, he wouldn't have left us in this present world. He wouldn't have prayed prayers that said, Father, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but that you'll keep them from the evil of the world. If he made the world, he can keep you from the evil that's in the world. He can keep you from falling. He can keep you from becoming afraid. He can keep you from becoming anxious and full of anxiety about the uncertainty of tomorrow. I'm preaching truth to you tonight. Jesus can do this. Praise the Lord. And that's part of what I'm here to talk to you a little bit about tonight. It is about dealing with uncertainty. We love Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because it's happy. I mean, it's a fantastic verse, right? Nothing negative about it. Now faith is. And it's kind of like, ah! But there's that flip side of the coin in that the uncertainty of the unseen. The patient waiting for what we hope for. It's about not knowing. When there are things that are uncertain, they're out of our control. We can't control it. We can't put our finger on it. We can't manipulate it. In a world where we're so used to having all of our ducks in a row and our plans pre-made, we're trying to have a hold on stuff so that it goes our way. When the future's uncertain, we don't know how to plan. We don't know how to predict. We don't know how to forecast anything. I don't care how long you live for God. how many great moments you've had. I don't care how organized you like to be, how in control you like to be, how certain of tomorrow you like to be. You or I will never, ever, ever be exempt from our need to trust in God. Hallelujah. And here's where the challenge is. It sounds so easy to come to church, sing some great songs, feel good, have the preacher read a nice, cute scripture. But it doesn't mean that the scripture has been learned. It doesn't mean that the lesson has been absorbed. It doesn't mean that your hard shell has been broken. It doesn't mean that it has sunk in deep inside of the corridors of your soul and has gone right to the issue that causes you to have panic attacks, your heart to go do-do-do-do-do-do, for you to worry about tomorrow, even though you know the scripture says, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. It's one thing to hear scriptures read. It's one thing to hear them preached. It's one thing to read them yourself. It's another thing to do them. It's another thing to perform them. It's another thing to live by them. Amen. Jesus didn't say man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that he hears. He listened to what he said. Man shall live by. It's not about just hearing the word. It's about living by the word. We come to church. We sing songs like I'm living by faith in Jesus above. But are we? If you're worried about tomorrow, if you're filled with fear, if not knowing the outcome of what's coming is got you in a cage, then you sing the song, but sing it until it breaks you free. Praise the Lord, so that you can start living by faith and learning how to trust in God. Amen. Let's thank him and let's love him a moment. Praise God. Let's go back to Proverbs 3, 5 for a minute. I just want to look at that verse while I talk to you a moment. Sometimes I just like to make sure that I slow down long enough to go and dissect a verse. Never had to dissect anything in school, thank God. I'm sorry, I just couldn't dismantle a frog. But I don't mind trying to dissect a scripture. At least it won't bleed everywhere, and I don't have to see guts and veins and see the thing say, why are you doing this to me? So, sorry, Sister Judy. But listen to what the word is saying here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But the question comes, when? When we read trust in God, it's usually in moments in our life when we're faced, or can be in a lot of moments in our life, when we are faced with an inability to do anything about whatever it is that's on our plate. Yes. Trust, to really trust in God means you relinquish the worry, the fear, the fret, and you settle into the peace that passes all understanding. I'd hate to read a scripture but never experience it. Wouldn't that be a shame? But there are some verses you'll never experience until you trust. And you can't trust. I can't trust if I don't surrender. See, we have to surrender. When we surrender to God, we are surrendering from our fear unto his love. From our weakness unto his power. In other words, we're relinquishing our ability to have control over what we can't control and we can't foresee. That's right. We don't know tomorrow. We don't hold tomorrow. We don't own tomorrow. But we can trust in the Lord, as one other verse says, and do good. If we don't find ourselves trusting in the Lord, we're not going to do good. God's going to make sure for all of us that there, no matter if you're a type of person that's got to have everything God's going to bust your little system up. I practically can guarantee it. At some point in your life, God is going to just teach you, you need me. You want to need me. You don't have to be in control. You don't have to know tomorrow. You just need to know I know tomorrow. And I hold tomorrow. And tomorrow will never catch me by surprise. And at what time I am afraid. Now what David said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. What's he saying? When I find myself into the position where whatever it is has brought me to a point of what do I do? That's when I switch gears. That's when I get my eyes off of all this stuff, whatever it is that's making me afraid. And I'm going to press toward the mark. I'm going to get my mind on the Lord. I'm going to remind myself that I can trust in my God. I'm going to start saying, God, I know you can see me through. God, you can work all things out according to the counsel of your own will, because my will ain't getting the job done. And I can sit up all night and bite my nails off. That ain't going to change one thing. Praise God. I can worry about tomorrow, whether bills are due or anything else is on your plate. It makes no difference. The same God is Lord over all. Praise the Lord. Don't try to be Lord over yourself. If we preach about not getting in each other's business, amen, sometimes we gotta self-teach ourselves that I am not my own Lord. I am not keeping myself by the power of God. God's keeping me by the power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if I'm faltering, I can trust in the Lord who does not falter, who will kick in the power. When I need a gear to get me out of the mud, God's got all the gears and all the horsepower I need to get out of the mud. Amen. All of us have had to drag ourselves to Calvary, praise the Lord, and say, Lord, back to that mud thing, I'm stuck, and I stuck me. And I'm trying to figure out how to get me out of the mud. But I know you can get me out of the mud, just like he can get us out of any circumstance that we find ourselves in. Praise the Lord. I'm just here to tell you tonight, the way to deal with uncertainty is trust in the Lord. Praise God. And stop leaning to your own understanding. Amen. Let's love him one more time. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Don't be afraid to trust God. All right. Peter on the water. Here we go. Disciples are out there leaning to their own understanding. Again, I told you, Jesus, I've read enough in the Word of God to be able to confidently say there are times when if a stormy storm comes into your life, I'm not saying it's every time. I'm saying there can be times when it is the Lord that has brought the storm. I'm not here to worry about anybody disagreeing with that. We know too much. If you're an avid reader of the Word, you can say, yeah, that's true. God has no problem being so pleased with you that he drives you into the wilderness to go through some stuff. He said, that don't make any sense. I know it doesn't, but he's the Lord, not you. It's not supposed to make sense to you, because if it made sense to you, you wouldn't go into the wilderness. Praise the Lord. You wouldn't row your boat into a nor'easter on the water either. You go the other way around. If it was up to you, you go by the way of the Philistines and the Gaza Strip instead of walking through the Red Sea. Because it's human nature to be in control. Everything's got to make sense. But in this great kingdom of God, what makes sense? Does it make sense to spit on the ground and put in somebody's eye and tell them to go wash and he sees? He's not worried about it making sense. But he is worried about you trusting him enough that you'll go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Yes. Praise the Lord. It is good. Look, God will be pleased with you that if anything's on your mind tonight and you're going to go to sleep worrying about the future, worry about tomorrow, the will of God for you is to relinquish all of that and cast all of that care upon the Lord and trust him. Just giving it a minute to soak into your sponge. That's why parents repeat stuff to kids because, you know, you ever see a crusty sponge? Sometimes we just become crusty sponges. Come to church, preacher tries to preach, and, you know, it's like, wait a minute. That's why sometimes we got to worship before we hear the word. We got to sing and praise the Lord. Loosen up. What are we doing? We're just soaking up the sponge. It makes it easier to absorb the word. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? But sometimes it takes some time to get through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You got to give him the whole heart. It doesn't work any other way. You can't again have one foot leaning in his direction. It's one thing to lean in his direction. It's one thing to be in his direction and still be trying to hang on to, trying to reason things out. How's it all going to work out? Look, you got to stop doing that. You can pray, God, I want to see miracles. I want to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. And then he's going to put you in a circumstance, and if you're trying to figure it all out and be in control of it, you'll never see the miracle. So here they are out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and they're out about 3.5 miles out, and they're stuck. I mean, they're stuck. They're not stuck in the mud. They're stuck in the water. We got that gale force wind coming down, and they can't get anywhere. They're toiling and they're rowing. And they're just rowing and rowing and rowing. And man, I wish I had a paddle right now. So unfair. But I just demonstrate it. This is rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, just not getting anywhere. We're so good at that. We so are. We come to church and we sometimes go through the motions. What a mighty God we serve. And all we're doing is rowing and rowing and rowing. And we're toiling in our rowing and we're not making any progress. But we're trying to act like it. How you doing tonight? Praise the Lord. I'm doing just fine. Praise God. Everything's great. Be better if we just said, God's good. Yeah. So that way we don't lie. Yeah. What we really want to say is, it's not going my way and I'm frustrated. And I'm doing exactly what the scripture says not to do. I'm worried about tomorrow. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. I'm afraid about the future. All this uncertainty. That's what we want to say. But we don't like to do that. We just like to keep rowing. Jesus says, well, I got to do something because they're going to just keep rowing. He's watching. Just like he saw them. Scripture says, while he was on the shore, he saw them toiling. Now, that might get you angry or make you feel comforted. I don't know which. There are some times when it seems like when he's not showing up, we just get that human nature kicking in like, he should show up. Because I don't like waiting. I don't like to have to trust. Because trust means wait. And it means relinquishing a lot of stuff in his care that I'm so used to having on my plate. In my control. But again, God just going to allow you to be in a situation where you are out of control and the only way out is him. And he's just going to hope that you get smart enough to realize that and give him your heart. Give him all your trust. He won't be satisfied with anything else. You can't fool God. You can fool people. You can't fool God. You can fool his preacher. You can't fool God. The scripture says that the thoughts and the intents of the heart are discerned by him. There's nothing hidden in his eyes. Everything is naked and open. He knows everybody in this church service tonight. If he wanted to, he could appear in the flesh. He could walk up and say, fear, love, fear, love, fear. You're not trusted. Not saying he would do that, and I'm not saying that's what he would read. I'm just making a point. He knows the hearts of all men. He knows what's best, and he won't be happy until he's got your whole heart. It was David that said in Psalm 3, might read that actually in a minute, that he was able to lay himself down and sleep, for the Lord sustained him. In other words, I stopped biting my nails. I stopped worrying and fretting. And fluffed up my pillow and said, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. That's trust. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So I'm going to conclude with that. I might read that Psalm 3 in closing. Makes sense, right? Doesn't have to be a long thought to be to the point. I just felt like talking about uncertainty. How to deal with uncertainty. And so Peter's and James and John and the other guys are out there on the boat. I'll finish the story. And they're toiling in the rowing, not getting anywhere. Now, remember, Jesus told them to go to the other side. So they're trying to do what he said. But they're having trouble along the way. He saw them toiling in their rowing. And that should comfort you, because you feel like sometimes when you go through stuff, you feel like somehow God has abandoned you. And that's just emotion. That's not true. He sees you. He's right there with you. And so the scripture says about the third hour, about the fourth watch, I believe it was, that he came walking on the water, and he would have passed by them if they didn't turn around and see and cry out in fear. And Peter was there and said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And he said, "Well, come on." You open up your gub, he's going to take you up on it. And so Peter steps out of the boat. Now remember, the water didn't go calm like they show in Jesus of Nazareth, that TV show that shows up every year. You know, he's walking on like this glass water. That was not happening. That sea was moving. Now you can picture it, figure it out all you want to, and see what was happening and think it's just almost impossible to think of the whole scenario, but he can do impossible things. He's walking on an ocean that's moving, that's interfering with their ability to make progress. So don't ever think that God cannot walk in the middle of what you're going through, no matter how troublesome it might be. And he might have caused it so that he could show up and get your attention. See, the only way you're going to get to that other side is if you trust in me. So Peter walks out on the water to go to Jesus. I don't know what was going through his mind. The scripture says he saw the wind in the waves. Got his attention, like it always gets ours. And what happens? He began to sink. Praise God. He stopped trusting. All of a sudden, the ocean, he suddenly realized what he was doing. And where he was, and the enormousness of where he was, and the reality of the impossibility caused him to start drawing back in fear, and he began to sink. You know the story. And he cried out, "Lord, save me!" The Lord took him by the hand and said, "Why did you doubt? Why did you stop trusting?" And that's what he's saying to you tonight. Don't stop trusting. Psalm 3, let's stand and I'll close. We'll pray and maybe have a song. We know the goodness and severity of God, but sometimes I don't think we put the severity in all of its right places. Said at the beginning that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That's our focus. As he told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, there are things for you to know and not to know. We don't need to know all the stuff that will generate fear. We need to know all the stuff that will generate power and love and a sound mind. And that's a simple lesson. But you'll notice how the world flips that and they get their mind on all the stuff that causes confusion and fear and chaos. And you have all these people worried about, you know, the vaccines and worried about microchips and cryptocurrencies and everybody's mind's on all this stuff. But where's your mind on? I need to please God. I need to walk with God. I need to trust in God with all of my heart. I need to be heaven ready. I need to have my lamp full of oil. I need to worship him in spirit and in truth. I need to walk in power so that I can become a son of God. He's given us power not to be afraid. Love to not be afraid. A sound mind to give you a good night's sleep. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But then he changes gears. He says he's looking at all the stuff that's against him. Many there be that rise up against me. Now, for you tonight, it could just be everything between your two ears. how you view life, what you're dealing with right now that's got you feeling not so, what a mighty God, everything's going to be all right. But David said, I see all that, and I love verse 3, but, this is where there's good but. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. When you're afraid, you don't lift your head up. You hold it low. You go run and hide. But when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, your head gets lifted up because he lifts up your head. You cannot lift up your eyes into the hills and not end up with your head being lifted up, praise God, and your spirit being lifted up. If we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the scripture says he will exalt us in due time. Hallelujah. He will not leave us in despair. He will not leave us in fear, in worry, in doubt, in anxiety. Praise God. He will lift us. Hallelujah. He will step in that boat and say, storm's over. But you got to let him in that boat. You got to trust him. He knows what to do about tomorrow. It's going to be in his hand. If I need this, the scripture says, but my God. There's that other but coming in. But I need this. This is a situation. But praise God. You need to show up to stuff in your life and show up with a big but. Praise God. But my God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Listen now. This is what trust people who trust God do. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. That's why we cry. I'll say it again. That's why we cry, because we know he'll hear. Pray. Well, come on. If we gave $5 to everybody that walked in off the streets, I guarantee they'd be here every single service. And if we doubled that to $10, and we told them every time you call, we'll answer with $10, they'd be here every single service. And I'm not be demeaning to anybody. We're talking from experience if you're watching out there and thinking I'm being mean-spirited. But we know something through experience that when we call, he answers. When we cry out, all of a sudden he steps in the boat. I was just waiting for you. You mean you're there all the time? Of course. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. Why? Because I cried and he heard. What need was there for me to stay up and eat the bread of sorrows? For you give your beloved sleep. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? Do you want a good night's sleep tonight? I laid me down and slept. I awaked. Because I didn't have any doubt I was going to. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I didn't sustain me. The Lord did. I didn't work this out. The Lord did. I took my heart that was overcome, that was overwhelmed, and he led me to a rock and hid me in the secret of his tabernacle. Praise God. Hid me under the covert of his wings. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. Praise God. A shield. Why? Because sometimes we just need a shield to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked that come our way. Oh, let's love him. Let's love him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, he knew what that was about physically. He said, I will not be afraid. Sometimes we get afraid if a bill's due. David's like 10, 20,000 men want to cut my head off. He said, I will not be afraid. I mean, that's trust. I mean, that's trust. You're in the face of actual death, but he said, I'm going to trust in God. Praise God. I will not be afraid. That's faith talking. That's power. That's love. Let it kick in. You got more horsepower in you? You shall receive power. That's what he was talking about. Oh, God, help me tonight. That's what he was talking about. All these things that I told you about is going to show up, but you shall receive dynamite power, horsepower. Praise God. Sustaining power. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You and I don't have to worry about the end of the world. That's his problem. My problem is living through this world, enduring the things in this world, even the stuff that he's doing. Yes. Praise the Lord. Arise, O Lord, save me. My God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got to say one more thing. It's still early. Sister Gloria, you remember I won't turn back? I'm going, is that possible? Okay. I got to emphasize this again. I don't know why. Just one more time, I'm going to try to drive in trust in the Lord. He's very sensitive about being trusted in. Now, he said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he has poured out all of this great salvation and taught us trust in him. Trust him. Commit your way. That's what it's written in the word. Commit your way unto the Lord and do good. If we don't commit, if we don't trust, we're not doing good. The scripture says in Romans 14, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He wants to be trusted. He wants to show himself. We don't need to cheat ourselves out of the incredible, supernatural, miraculous power and demonstration of God because we refuse to trust. The reason why David went to sleep because he wasn't trying to figure out how he was going to beat the army that was setting themselves against him round about. The Lord will take care of it. Yeah, but there's 10,000 setting themselves against you, and they're going to destroy you. Yep. What's your answer? But thou, O Lord. You have needs? I got needs tonight. We come to church. Does anyone have a need tonight? Anyone have a need? Sound so religious about it. Anybody have a need in the service tonight? Probably should start that sort of talk with, but my God shall supply. That's power, love, and a sound mind talking. That's experience talking. Before you state your need, I just want to remind you tonight, he's already on the water walking towards your boat. And whatever you're going through, you know he's going to step in. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. He loves it when we trust him. He loves it when the odds are stacked against us because they're never stacked against him. Amen. That's why Moses was trying to tell the people of God, stand still and see the salvation of God, because he knew what God was going to do. Something. Didn't quite know he's going to part the ocean behind him, but he knew God was going to do something. Everything's going to be all right. Praise God. I won't turn back. God bless you. Praise God.
Praise God. I won't turn back. I am going all the way. I've got to see my Savior. Got to meet him face to face. He promised to go with me every step of the way. Every step of the way, I won't turn back. No, no, I won't turn back. I won't turn back.
How many believe tonight all things are possible with God? Amen. Praise God. There's nothing impossible with God. Look, we're going to still pray for people. Things don't go our way. We're still praying for people. The Word of God is still true. We're going to see people healed. We'll keep on praying. Sometimes people live. Sometimes they die. It should not stop us from praying. Amen? Just make sure you believe God. He could do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Make sure when he looks at your individual life, he sees the output of trust and faith. No struggle. Without wavering. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. The scripture says, James 1, without wavering. God bless you.
To go.